This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Outside the Round with me, Matt Barile. Today, a very special episode. We got three-fifths of the band Winya. We've got Thomas, we've got Steven, and we've got Luke. And super stoked to have you boys in here today. How we doing?
Thanks, amazing. Man. Thank you so much for having us.
Dude,
it's our pleasure.
I've been trying to set something up with you, Thomas, for a while because you were the guy. Are you guys all out here in Nashville now, or are we?
Yeah.
We're out here full time.
I roped them in.
You roped them in.
Got them to come to town.
Hell yeah! And are you guys all? You guys are South Carolina, but are all of you from like the same place in South Carolina, or kind of scattered?
Yeah, we all grew up together. Everyone except for our drummer, Jake, is from Southport, North Carolina.
Okay.
But we all grew up at home, Georgetown, Polly's Island.
Yeah.
Yep. So is that like Charleston area?
It's about an hour north of Charleston, and then like 40 minutes south of Myrtle Beach. So like right in between.
Okay, sweet. So, yeah, because I've gotten to know Charleston well. My girlfriend is a proud Goose Creek native.
Nice.
So I've been out there. I've experienced Folly. I've experienced like the old town, like the old row homes. And then back in my touring days, I spent some time out at the Windjammer. Which is just South Carolina is a great state for music.
No doubt.
Windjammer's an awesome spot.
Yeah, and you've got some like awesome town, like awesome college towns out there too. Like you guys have gotten to, I'm sure, go through your Columbias, your Clemsons, your Myrtles.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah,
where are some of the like the Winya stomping grounds of where the markets you guys really like to hit in state?
Man, I'd say, I mean, speaking of the Windjammer, like that really feels like a place where we got to start. Scotty there, the buyer, actually taught me how to play guitar and really like gave us our start, putting us in some of the shows. Like, so they'll do a late night show inside of the Windjammer after like the headliner on the beach. And so like he would put us up there and it was so fun and always a great show. So like that was like instrumental in everything, I think, in like our early growth. And I mean, it's all still early because like we're a super young band, but like the Windjammer for sure, and Charleston, just because like I don't know, we all love Charleston. Like whenever we record our music in Charleston as of now, and whenever we pull into town, like I tell the guys, I'm like, do y'all just get like the same feeling of like excitement whenever you pull into town? Like Charleston is amazing for that. Columbia is a vibe as well. There's some music lovers
there. The Senate out there, bro. I like the Senate. The Tin Roof out there holds its own with any tin roof in the country.
Yeah.
USC, a great college environment.
We've drank a few beers at the Tin Roof in Columbia and had a great time playing for the USC kids. And I mean, yeah, Columbia's it's a fun place. Clemson as well. Can't sleep on Clemson. Clemson's great.
Greenville
is wonderful. We played for the first time in Greenville. In what was it, November?
Well, we had the Greenville Country Music Fest before
too. Right.
Which that looks sick. That was the Country Central folks were out at that one. Grady was out at that one, right? Yeah,
I think so. Great time. Man, that was such a character builder for us. So like,
how so? Walk me through. I love good character building tour stories.
Yeah,
I'm gonna burp. So like, we get to the Country Music Fest, and I guess there had been like rain and wind and whatever. Actually, no, we drove through a hailstorm from Nashville. There was a crazy hailstorm. Yeah. And, like, we get to the festival, and they're, like, saying that our set time is now 15 minutes rather than 45 minutes. So, like, we were super bummed about that. And, like, the whole schedule had been mixed around. And so, like, we were thinking, like, we were going to go in there, and it was going to be super sick. And, like, a hell of people are going to be there to listen to our stuff. And we get on and play, and, like, as we're playing, like, Bailey Zimmerman is going on the main stage. And so everyone's over there.
Yeah.
And we had probably, like, I don't know, like, what do you think? Like, three to five people in front of us. But it was sick. We ripped.
Yeah, I mean, we did it. Yeah.
We ripped it as if there were, you know, as if we had Bailey Zimmerman's crowd. But, dude, it was such a character builder.
It was 15-minute set, maybe.
15-minute set. Balls to the wall. Yeah. Like, we had such a fun time, though. I mean, like, looking back on it, that was so sick. We got to hang out and see some great shows. And kind of, like, I don't know, being in that position of, like, you know, you're so excited to play this festival and then getting there and like, you know, you're still pumped to be there with your boys and get to share your own music
in your home state too.
Yeah. In your home state, regardless of like how many people are out there. It was a great, great experience, but also like to to see Bailey Zimmerman and Nate Smith perform.
Oh, dude,
thousands of people. Nate is
a fucking beast up there, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Nate turns into, like, just an animal. He's like a gorilla beating his chest when he's up there, dude.
And he's the nicest guy, too. Yeah, like, we got to hang with him a little bit, and he's just so nice. He's a great guy. Yeah. Great guy. So, like, getting to, like, be in that position where we were and then, like, see, like, where we could, like, try and strive for was really, really cool and a great learning experience. And then since then, like, Greenville has been nothing but amazing for us everywhere in South Carolina, really.
And now you'll have that story of the first time that we were here for Greenville Country Music Fest in 2024. And then when you go back and sell out those theaters and sell out those bars and those clubs, you know, you go back and you tell that story and say, who saw us at Greenville Country Music Fest? Because those 3 to 5 people are going to be at all of your Greenville shows.
I hope so.
No, they will. So. That's how that story goes. That's part of the origin story.
If they're listening, they need to hit us up. We'll get them tickets.
It was deeper than that too, because I think it was like not the weekend, and we all had like other stuff going on. Steve was full time at Ally Bank. Jimbo had to go back to work. I think the next morning, back in Columbia, and we like couldn't figure out where to go. We thought we were like rock stars. We're like, we're playing Greenville Country Music Fest. This is so sick.
This is a big deal.
This is it. Whoa. This is it.
Yeah, hold on 1 second. I'll make sure these lights are all good. Make sure it looks good. All right, keep going. I'm sorry.
And so we all get there separately. Like, Steve drove separately, Jimbo drove separately, and then Thomas and I were together. And we were like trying to figure out where to park and stuff. And it was like, I've never really been to a music festival or anything like that.
It's an eye-opening experience.
It was intense. Yeah. And I think we all somehow like made it together, ended up together at the same place. But Steve-O, if you want to...
I had a feeling I knew what he was bringing up.
This is so
weird. What happened, Steve-O?
That's nothing, but it was like we pulled up and it was like... It was definitely intimidating getting there, like Greenville Country Music Festival. Like, I went to Clemson. All my friends went the prior year to see Zach Bryan, and like pulling up, and everyone's in their cowboy boots, and it's like, oh man, I hope these guys are ready for some indie rock music. Yeah. we love country, we love Southern rock, but we definitely play a blend of influences, you know. And I don't know, I'm pulling up, and there's like an artist section. And as I'm pulling through, the person's stopping people, and he's like, all right, what are you doing here? And I'm like, I'm an artist. And there's people walking by, and they turn around. They think they're going to see, like, Bailey Zimmerman or something. They think they're going to see someone cool, and that's just, like, me, and I'm driving my 2011 Hyundai Tucson.
Hell yeah.
And, like, in a row of these masses, like, lifted trucks.
Yeah, and tour buses.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, and it's like, they're like, all right, artist. And as I'm like fighting with the guy to let me through, who like doesn't believe I'm an artist, I guess, I hear someone else. Oh no, I drive by and some people who were walking by like, you know, a couple minutes prior, I have my windows down. I hear them talking and they're like clearly talking to me and they're like, I mean, he drives a Tucson. So they're like guessing who I am and they're not impressed.
That's awesome. Well, you talk about like being indie rock and all of that. I feel like right now there is no bounds to like certain genres and there's so much blending. And you have friends that are doing it too, like the Evan Honers of the world.
Absolutely.
That are looped in under that like Noah Kahn, Zach Bryan thing where it's all storytelling. Good music's good music, no matter what the fuck you call it.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like you guys can tour with an Evan Honer, with a maybe one day like a Zach Bryan, like people in that world, but then you can go out with like the Stoplight Observations.
Right.
You guys can go out with the indie rock folks and hit some of my stomping grounds. I'm a New York guy. I was just up there this past weekend. And you can go hang out in Brooklyn or go up to Boston or Philly. And I'm sure I think you guys have been up there, right?
Yeah, we did our first like shows in the Northeast this fall, and it was...
How was it?
Unreal, dude. We had such a great time. Boston... And Brooklyn, especially, like, those shows, I'll never forget. Like, it was so sick. Yeah, and we were just, like, we stick out like sore thumbs. We're from the small little beach town in South Carolina. We get up there, and we're just like, whoa, what is going on?
Everywhere we go, y'all, can we park here?
Yeah.
can we really just park here and go in?
Like walk into the venue, like, are we like allowed to be in here right now?
Just getting honked at everywhere.
Yeah, the honking. I had forgotten about the honking. I've been up. This was my first time going up in a few years, and it's like, yeah, the honk. New York City is very aggressive,
dude. Crazy. Yeah. Driving, parking the van. Steve and I had.
That was a nightmare, dude.
Experiences.
Yeah, man. We're not like.
How close did you end up getting it?
Like, we had to try multiple times. We bailed on a spot because we got, like, yelled at for, like, blocking traffic.
I could not parallel park. It was so stressful.
We're not city, like, we don't have experience parallel parking.
Like, it was bad. We ended up, like, going with a spot that was actually pretty close to the venue, and we were just like, all right, we're kind of accepting the fact that this van may get towed, and if it does, we'll just deal with it. Like, we just have to go play the show. Like, I can't worry about this anymore.
Yeah, that was stressful.
But we didn't get towed, and it was lit.
That's awesome. Show. And where was the show at? Do you remember
it
where?
It was at Music Hall of Williamsburg in Brooklyn.
Williamsburg's like, it's unreal. The East Nashville of New York City. Granted, East Nashville is very all of New York City, you know? Like, you have Tribeca and Soho and the Bronx and all those different places. But Williamsburg is a great place. And it's a young crowd.
Yeah.
They love indie rock.
It was so sick. Like, that show, I'll never forget it. It was so fun. And everyone there at that venue was very amazing towards us and all the fans that came out to see Dog Park and us. Like, it was a great night. Amazing night.
Yeah. And another band where you're touring with a country band one weekend.
That's right.
And then some alternative to like a like concept like progressive rock. Like, it's all over the place, which there's not many bands that can say that. And there's not many bands with like, I mean, there's all kinds of unique names out there, but I gotta ask, like, where does the name Winya come from? So you get asked that all the time.
Yeah, I like pretty much any show that we ask, anyone that we talk to about our band, they ask about the name. And there's a bay in our hometown. It's called Winya Bay, and there are five rivers that flow into the bay, and there's five of us that make up Winya.
So that's perfect.
Kind of hand in hand with that, and a lot of.
I think we found that out after the fact.
We did.
Oh, yeah, the five. Bob Ross, happy accident.
I'm owning that, like, as if we really planned it out, but like we did figure it out. We went through like so many different names, and then
it's also like if you drive down our hometown, there's like a bunch of businesses that are like Winya X, Winya Y. It's just kind of a way to bring like our hometown out into the world.
Without a doubt, it's Yeah, it's everywhere.
It felt special to us when y'all like it. It's a Native American, I think, tribe or
I think it was a tribe.
It's like, I think it means people of the Black Water. I think that
it's derived from that.
Like pretty cool, you know. Yeah. We grew up in the river, playing around, fishing, surfing. You know, just low country lifestyle, and felt cool to like kind of stomp that on our music, you know.
Without a doubt.
We knew we would kind of take that and you know, leave South Carolina with it, and it's cool to have that be a part of it.
Without a doubt.
And it's working, and Nashville is a great place. How long have you guys been out here now? Because I know Thomas has been out here for a little while.
I came out here, I've been out here for like a little over a year now.
A little over a year, okay. Yeah. What about you, Steve-O?
I moved up in August. And I had like, I was in Charlotte before.
Okay, so you got acclimated to the city kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Were you a little outside of Charlotte, or were you?
It was different. I was in the city. I was in like South End with all the other people who just graduated college.
Yeah, that's a good
And it was fun.
That is where all the college kids go. Get a degree, move to South End.
Yeah. It was great. Nashville is different. I like Nashville more, being honest. Charlotte was cool though, but it's like, I was working in finance and stuff, like all the other Charlotte people.
You had a big boy job.
I had a big boy job.
Steve-O has the craziest lore of all time.
So what makes you give up the big boy job to jump in? I know it's the We Need a Van tour, so we're not quite rolling around in a van just yet. We're getting there, boys. But how did you make that decision to give up the finance life for doing this?
Nah, I mean, it was a lot of phone calls with family and mentors and such, for sure. But I knew I had to do it. I knew I'd be living the rest of my life regretting it if I didn't give it a shot. I liked my old job. It was fine, but you know, it's a lot more fun rolling around in a van.
It took a lot
with these guys.
Of manipulation.
Yeah,
in mind games,
they tricked me.
Jedi mind tricks.
Yeah,
that's the truth.
That's awesome.
I mean, shoot. This is so funny, like, to be asked about all of this, because, like, we've been so pedal to the metal
yeah.
for, like, the past year, it feels like, and to look back on all this now is pretty special.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting reflecting. So just head down from the start of this thing. We've, like, really never sat down and talked about.
You guys have released a lot of songs a year. Like, what's the total? Because I on Spotify, it lumps the singles and the EPs together. Like, so there were a lot of releases.
We've got, what is it?
Well, yeah, right on cue. I mean, we didn't have any time. We got Bonnaroo, and
fuck, that's right. You boys did Bonnaroo.
Bro, we got Bonnaroo, and we only had three songs.
We don't have any music. And we were like, what are we gonna do?
We're fucked. Like, we can't go to Bonnaroo and play covers. Like, so we locked ourselves in a warehouse in Colombia and slept on our keyboard player Rob's college house couches for like a month and a half and wrote all of the music that we put out this year just to get ready for Bonnaroo.
Yeah.
It was like so wild, like this whole thing just like blew up in our face, and we were just like, holy shit, like we gotta write some songs and like like dig in here.
We would go home and like be like, does anybody have time for like a Zoom call? We gotta finish writing this song. We'd like go on Zoom for like 5 minutes and just like, no, I don't like that line, that line's whack, we gotta change it. And then just like, we really just shit these songs out.
And they're awesome. They're so fun. They're amazing. And like, and it's crazy that, you know, that we were able to do it in that way. And now, like, I guess, what do we have? Like nine out? Eight or nine?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got
eight, I think.
Eight out?
Eight, I think.
There's eight songs out.
Maybe nine.
Maybe not. I don't know. There's two versions of one song, and that always confuses everybody.
Yeah.
But we've got another one coming out on Friday, February, what, 7th?
7th.
Yeah. And then one more on...
26th or 7th?
At the end of February. I don't know what
you
day
you guys
it
have. It looks like a record is set to come out here.
Yeah,
soon.
It's like the end of this era period, like this first kind of album, I guess, is coming up soon, and then it's back to the drawing board to start writing the next project.
And I love the title of the album, Lot to Learn.
Oh, yeah.
It all makes sense.
Right.
Because you guys were like, oh, shit, we have a lot to learn.
No doubt.
Go stay on the couches in Colombia for a month and a half and write songs over Zoom, but you guys are learning.
Yeah, totally.
We've Absolutely. Learned so much this year, and there still is so much for us to learn And I'm really glad that is the name of that project, because it really just like it does encapsulate how this whole process has been since we started the band and even like now, like we're still at like every day I learn something new from these guys or from my team or from the team that we have. They're amazing and teaching us so much about how we can handle things and become the best band that we can be, which is the goal. So, you know, we definitely have a lot to learn in that process, and hopefully we always do, you know?
Yeah, dude. And talk about Cloverdale for a second, because what's going on with your whole collective? And it's the best part is that it's just really your friends.
It's amazing.
And it's all your friends creating stuff as a collective, with obviously Evan's a huge part in that.
Yeah,
and,
no doubt.
And like I saw like the Low Gap guys just played with you guys, like that jam that you guys just did, the two-day festival over in East Nashville.
Cloverdale anniversary.
Unfortunately, I couldn't make it over there, but I was living through like Grady and everybody's like Instagram stories, and it just looked like it was such a ball. What's it been like to be a part of this kind of indie movement that's going on in Nashville right now?
Man,
it's just been a true blessing to me. Honestly,
really, it is.
Didn't have it on the bingo card.
I was not expecting it.
Nor did I. Really, I mean, like, it's so inspiring and refreshing to be around our buddies who we enjoy being with on such a personal level all the time, but also just to like see them thrive and see everybody support each other and what they do and what they're passionate about is truly spectacular. And I think that everybody who is a part of it, really, you know, depending on what the genre is or who it is on a personal level, like everybody has something to add, and everybody is adding into each other's stories, and it's so special in that sense. And the music is just spectacular, but really like the friendship is just like the most amazing thing, and it's beyond anything that I could have ever dreamed of, really.
Yeah, I think everybody's just so supportive of one another, and then it's just a reflection of the music, and like the music follows. Like, we all care, like, we're all friends now, and we all like want to be good people to one another, and like help each other out any chance we can, and hang out and just be there supportively. And then it's like, I feel like the music is just totally just a reflection of all of our creative minds. Like,
yeah, it's a huge family.
Getting to flow and have fun.
No doubt.
Yeah, and it's like, it is a little bit of, again, that all genre. Like, where do you put a guy like Evan Hunter? Where do you put Julia? Where do you put Brendan? Where do you put you guys? Like, it's all over the place, which is what I love about it.
Yeah, no
you
doubt.
You go to an event like that, the anniversary, the two-day thing you guys did, and you're going to hear so many different sounds, but there's something about it that connects it all.
Without a doubt.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is really cool, because Nashville's been needing something like that. Like, it reminds me of, there used to be an event called Revival that was here, and it was one of the OG writers rounds. It used to be at Tin Roof, and it's where guys like Luke Combs, Muscadine, Laney, Riley, so many people like the Ben Chapmans, Tyler Halversons, folks that are in that Americana world.
Yeah.
They all kind of came up, and that was like their thing, was they would get together every Tuesday and just jam out. And it's like, and we do like 10 events a month as Rage Rowdy. We do a shit ton of events. But it's cool to have like a collective group. Like, I haven't seen a crew like that coming up together in a minute. So it's awesome to watch you guys be a part of that, man.
It is. Yeah, we're so blessed. We really are.
It's sick. So talk about the two guys that aren't here, the rest of the band, because you guys are a five-man outfit.
Yeah.
So talk about kind of how you guys all met and how you guys got together, and then tell us about the two fellas that we'll have to get on part two of this getting to know when y'all think we're doing right
absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
First and foremost, Jimbo.
Yeah.
Jimbo's not with us anymore, but he's always with us.
What do you mean?
It sound like he died. He is alive.
He's alive. Okay. He's alive.
So our first drummer, his name's Jim Carr, and he was one of the founding members of Winya, and he
Lost him to the what do you call it, the straight and narrow.
He was older than us and way more responsible, and has his life together way more than any of us do, which is why when it came to going on tour, it didn't really work out. But we love Jimbo, and he is our boy, and we still hang out with him all the time.
Yeah.
So we have to give Jimbo his credit.
Shout out Jimbo.
Jimbo.
We'll see you soon. And Surfside on me when I meet you, Jimbo.
Yeah.
I'll meet you one of these days if we're out in South Carolina or something.
Without Jimbo, I mean, like, none of this would be possible. So we have to give him his flowers. But now we're rocking with Jake Riley behind the drums, and he does a spectacular job. He's a vibe. He's always got a smile on his face, and he rocks, man. He's been a great addition to the band, and really has been good on the morale end of things, and kind of just like fell into this crazy thing, which is just like a bunch of dudes who just like ripped it and sent it to Nashville to try and make a rock and roll band.
He's a beast for that. We kind of started talking to him on pretty short notice, and he was like, I'm down to ride. he came to Nashville
fuck it.
He sold like all of his stuff. He was
just like, fuck it.
Just sold it. He's like, here. All right, I'll get some gas money. I'll meet you guys out there.
He's a beast. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's a G for that. And then we got Rob Buffington on the keys, and Rob is one of the original band members as well, and dude is probably the funniest person I've ever met in my entire life. He always has a cowboy hat and sunglasses on if you come to a show. There's not many shows where he doesn't. Actually, I don't think he's ever played a show without it that we've been playing.
No, yeah, always sunglasses and a cowboy hat. He's like the only person. He doesn't speak. He doesn't have a microphone. And he's constantly getting comments at the merch booth.
I think he has more fans than all of us combined.
he's aura maxing for sure.
Yeah, he's got lore.
Somebody's got to have the lore and the aura, and leave it to the guy without the microphone.
Yeah.
You don't hear. Yeah. He does all of his talking through his hands on the keys.
No doubt, and he does it very well. And yeah, he's the man. He's like I said, he's the funniest dude. Like whenever we're like, Steve-O, Luke, and I are like getting all stressed out, or like, you know, button heads over something, Rob will always say something so funny right at the right time. And he's like, He's kind of the glue in that sense.
Definitely. And the wrong time.
And sometimes at the wrong time. Yeah.
We love out-of-pocket comments.
Yeah.
That keeps the band going. So you're singing and playing guitar. Mm-hmm. What are you guys doing within the band? Because I haven't been to a Winya show yet.
We got to change that.
We do have to change that.
I'm playing guitar and like the most minimal backup singing you could possibly do.
Yeah, I play bass.
Okay, sick.
He also sings some as well.
Yes, yeah.
So you guys are going with what, like 3 to 4 part harmonies sometimes? Is there a microphone at the drum kit? Are you Phil Collins in it or what?
No, mainly just 2 part harmonies for now. Okay. I think sometimes Luke will sing some of my parts.
I don't really know how to harmonize yet.
We're working a lot to learn.
I basically just try to sing what he does just with my own voice, which is impossible. But I still try.
Yeah. He's for effort. He's getting better.
Yeah. 2025.
That's awesome. Right. And you guys are about to embark. How many shows do you guys think you did last year? You guys, I remember just seeing on Instagram, just we're here this weekend, we're there, this, like just flyers.
Because
it's not easy to fill your calendar up the way you boys did last year. Like, there's a lot of people struggling to get dates, and I know a lot of them are opening gigs to get into new markets and stuff. But you boys hit the pavement hard last year.
Yeah, we've had a lot of help with that.
Like,
especially about halfway through the year, we started working with Atlas touring group, and they've been really, we're very grateful for that. They've amazing. Been awesome for us.
Our team there is spectacular, and we love them. But it would not be possible without them. No. I don't know how many shows we played. Like, we had a handful of shows before we started working with them, and then we met them at Bonnaroo, which was wild. And then
talk about the hell. Talk about like the Bonnaroo experience. So you guys go in basically damn near shitting yourselves. Like, what are we gonna play? We've got 3 originals. You can't really play covers at Bonnaroo. And then you guys go in, write the music that you put out throughout the rest of the year. What was that experience like?
Bro, it was unreal. It really changed, I would say, all of our lives.
Probably one of the best weeks of my life, for sure.
I mean, Bonnaroo, like, itself, that performance was so fun. And that was the first music festival I'd ever been to, period. Like,
it's all downhill from there, brother. And we go to festivals for a living with Raise Ray, and I love my country music festivals. So Bonnaroo's just...
It was so sick, and it was magical, man. Like, what a great meeting place for so many different people that all love music. And if anything, that just shows how much of a universal language music is. Music is for everybody, you know, regardless of what genre you are. And that really just, like, that event, that music festival, is like the epitome of that. And I think that it was crazy to see that. And then, like, so we played, like, we were one of the first slots, and it was super sick, great show. And then we had the whole weekend just to, like, vibe out together as a band and go watch shows.
What a great way to bond as a unit at Bonnaroo. Play the show early in the week and then just enjoy the rest. What were some of your favorite performances that you guys got to take in?
Parcels
was definitely a night. Yeah.
Parcels was wild. I cried tears of joy.
Shout out Jenna Love.
Yeah. Shout out to our homie Jenna Love. She's the reason why we got Bonnaroo. So, like, the story, this is such a crazy story. So, like, I'm drinking at a party with a bunch of homies, Jenna Love included, and we're just chatting it up, like shooting the shit. And she was telling me about how she is involved in some way or like has some connect with Bonnaroo or something. And I'm like, you should throw my new band in the mix for
just
the,
like,
lineup.
Just why not?
Yeah, like totally, like, kind of fucking around and like not expecting anything of it. And she's like, oh, yeah, like, whatever. And so I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. Like, not expecting to hear anything about it. And she calls me, like, a couple months later. I was like, do you want to go to Bonnaroo? And I was like, yeah, did you get tickets? Because, like, I talked to her about, like, helping me get some tickets or something. Because I wanted to go. Like, I wanted to go watch. And she was like, no, like, there's an offer for you and the boys to play at Bonnaroo. And I was just like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And so that's when, like, everything changed. We were like, okay, I think we, like, have to become a real band now.
This is real.
I think I was at home. He called me. I was like, dude, I don't have time for this shit, bro. So I'm working. Like,
he's working.
Like, working for my dad or something, like, sweating. He's like, yo, so you want to play Bonnaroo? I'm like, dude, I don't have time for this shit, bro. Like, leave me alone. He's like, I'm not joking. I like speechless after that.
I remember the moment I got my phone started blowing up. I was in the office, like at the, you know, the bank job, and it was like, yeah, in a Zoom meeting, and I'm just like, like eyes wide, trying to like act like I'm paying attention. I was like, this is insane. This can't be real.
Yeah, like this is not real.
Yeah, but like going on from like, you know, like the month leading up to it, like we grinded so hard and like really, like every single night we're practicing and like committed to just being all together for that month and a half leading up. And then going into the show, like it felt like we were ready to rock, and we, I think we did a great job. And then having that time to go and watch like Parcels, Medium Build, Geese, Dominic Fike was another huge one for me that I really loved, even though like his performance was like so sick, but also so anxiety inducing.
What do you mean by that?
Dude, he's just like, he's such a rock star. Like it's crazy. Like his banter is so just like, blah, 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 blah. Like I was like, whoa, dude. Like I was just having a hard time like taking it all in. And then he would just lock in and just like not miss a note, like, and played the sickest songs like I've ever heard live. So it was just like a lot to take in. And it was also day three, and there, you know, were other things going on. And
yeah, it's Bonnaroo.
Yeah, it's Bonnaroo.
It's like Vegas for music fans. Yeah.
Right. I mean, dude, we saw so many great shows.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I think we all like had a new favorite band after that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Happy Landing, you guys are getting a tour with coming up, right?
Yeah. We're playing two shows with Happy Landing this weekend. We love Happy Landing. They rip.
Yeah.
Their show at Bonnaroo was so sick. And they were camping right next to us, so we got to hang out with them.
Oh, so it's like, so you guys were camping with like just the festival goers, but then other bands that are there are camping too.
Yeah.
It was like a separate camp. I had been to Bonnaroo a couple times before. I love the festival. And so it was surreal being able to play it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you get a little bit of extra artist access and stuff. And all of that was surreal. But yeah, we got to camp in like a separate section. Kind of a flex, but like we got to shower.
Which was that wasn't for the shower, dude. Deal.
If it weren't for the shower, I would have left. Like, the shower, that shower saved everything for me. It was like 105 degrees the whole time.
I found out on the last day that I had been showering in the women's shower section.
Yeah.
I didn't know there were like two sections. I thought everybody was just like, it was one shower place.
You're like, what are all these girls doing
every
here?
Day I walked in there, I'm like, yeah, there's like,
these dudes aren't showering. A lot of chicks here.
Yeah, I'm like only seeing girls. And then the last day, I just do a full circle. God. I'm like, and there's just like woman sign, guy sign. And I was like very embarrassed.
It's so funny.
I thought I was going to get in trouble, kicked out of Bonnaroo. It's not very rue of me.
I feel like the rue way.
Dude, oh my gosh. There's so many, I don't know. Bonnaroo was incredible. And like, incredible for these like funny moments that are just like will be a memory forever, but also like it really forced us to like get in gear. And then like after playing our set, like, which was such a relief and something that we'd worked so hard for, to like go and see artists that we're really inspired by go and do their thing.
And
I think
camp
it really,
around other like, bands. There's right, like green room backstage hangs, but then there's like campground with the other band hangs at Bonnaroo. Yeah. That's so how you build sick. Brotherhood.
Yeah. Like, it set the tone for just like everything. I think going forward, we were like, all right, like we want to be like these bands. We want to get on that bigger stage.
That lit the fire for sure.
No doubt.
We got hooked up with Atlas like the following week. I mean, right.
Well, so
after
it was just
weekend.
A when it rains, it pours kind of thing where Bonnaroo lit the fire for the whole year, huh?
And our mindset was just like reps. We saw all of like some of our favorite artists that week, and then it was just like, I don't think we'd ever been as motivated to like
just go play shows,
get back there and do it like they're doing it, and it was just like, let's just play. Let's get our reps in. Let's go next level here.
No
if we
doubt.
Can.
Yeah, it's like sink or swim.
Without a doubt.
You want to fucking swim.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. It's like you're in the black water. Like, like Winya, right. There you go. Yeah. Like,
when it rains and the black water rises.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So this year, you guys have already gotten to go out on the road a little bit in January, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you guys go?
We just had a couple of dates this past weekend. We went to Boone and Raleigh. Yeah. I did like a little solo run with my brother Harf. That was like Nashville, Atlanta, Charleston, Charlotte, and then Northeast. So like Boston, Philly, DC, New York. And then just came like straight back into the Cloverdale anniversary show and then had a day off and then got back on the road to Boone and Raleigh this past weekend, which was so sick, dude.
Yeah, fun. Yeah, that area, obviously, the Boone area has been hit with a lot over the past like 6 months.
Yeah.
But it's like they still just love, like that area just loves music.
No doubt.
And they love to jam out. Like those crowds in Asheville are some of my favorites to go to, to take in music.
We're headed back to Asheville this weekend, and we cannot wait to be back, man. They've been through a lot, and we're incredibly blessed and lucky to be able to go there and share our passion with them. They're so resilient, and we feel for them.
Yeah,
Asheville's awesome. I'm excited to be back.
It's just the vibe of a city.
It really is.
Like you talk about Bonnery with like vibes, and like, we're talking about like New York or like amazing. The beach. Asheville's just like this oasis of
and there's
just culture.
Really good people there too.
Yeah,
really good folks in Asheville.
Yeah, that's awesome. So do you guys, so as South Carolina guys, do you have like a rivalry with North Carolina? Is there any of that? It's like I'm from New York, so like we talk shit on New Jersey.
Yeah.
Like the border state, like, you're from fucking Jersey. Kind of
pretty much just like New York and New Jersey.
New York and New Jersey.
It's like, so there's that. like
barbecue. That's the only rivalry.
Yeah,
I can
there's
think
like
of.
The barbecue thing, but like it's not really that deep. I feel like it's more from the North Carolina side, bro. North Carolina people are always trying to be like, yo.
Yeah.
We're better than South Carolina.
Yeah.
We're just like, bro, we don't give a shit.
It's that northern aggression, you know?
Yeah,
they're just north of you. They're a little bit closer, you know? That's wild.
No,
yeah,
man. It's
I'm all about love, but North Carolina's always starting shit. Fuck North Carolina.
From Steve-O on the base.
No, but we want you to come to our shows in North Carolina, too,
please.
So we also love you.
Come to the shows. Prove them wrong, everybody, you know? Yeah, prove them wrong. And you guys are getting to go kind of all over the place again this year, right? Are there any new places that you're excited to get to?
Dude, yeah.
Man, possibly like California, maybe.
I
was doing my research earlier, looking on the page.
As like these Evan dates, we're going a little further north than we've ever been, which is going to be sick.
I see some Portland, Maine.
Yeah, I've never even been to Maine.
Yeah, I see. Oh, dude, Maine is awesome.
Yeah,
so that's where my dad's from originally. So I grew up, that was like the beaches that I grew up going to.
Nice.
So when I went to my first beaches in the South, I was like, damn, the water's so warm. It's like, oh, this is how it's supposed to be because it's fucking cold in Maine. But it's beautiful up there, man.
Dude, Portland's I'm so psyched excited to try some lobster.
Oh, dude. Mm. And they have lobster like you guys have shrimp and oysters.
Oh,
you know, it's that's the culture is the seafood up there in New England and Pawtucket, Rhode Island. I see you guys are going.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Too. Like, yeah, I'm cheating over here.
You got the tour graphic.
And you guys are going to one of my favorite places in the world, Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Yeah, that's Jersey Shore, right?
That's the Jersey Shore. So Asbury Park is where Springsteen came up.
Fire.
That's the home of like the Stone Pony, the Wonder Bar.
Yeah,
Asbury
I think we're
Lanes.
Playing Stone Pony.
Is that one of the Evan dates?
I think that's one. Yeah, it's one of the Evan dates.
So the Stone Pony's cool because it feels like you're in like a diner, like a Jersey diner. The flooring is like checkerboard, but then it's like a Bruce Springsteen museum where there's just pictures and guitars and all this cool stuff from the
Such
boss.
A
like,
vibe.
And it's right on the boardwalk.
Hell
so
yeah.
you're right on the water.
Dude.
Oh. I might have to fly home for that show.
You
honestly,
should.
Dead
dude.
Ass.
Come on.
And the pizza. Oh my God. You guys are going to love Asbury.
I'm so excited.
It's a cool city.
Sounds like we're in for a fun time.
Yeah. You guys are getting to like, that's the fun part is when you're starting out and really just rolling around and you're not in a van yet. So what are we driving?
Well,
to these places, what do the logistics look like? As a former tour manager, I gotta know.
We have to say the tour is called the We Need a Van Tour, but we saved up all of our money last year and we bought a van.
Let's go.
We named the tour when we were planning the tour, and then as it got closer, we're like, all right, we like actually need a van, like, can't do this without a van, and so
we bought
we're
a van.
We Need a Van Tour is kind of paying off the van, you might could say.
Yeah.
That's
we,
awesome.
We have a van. We're so stoked. And we're renting our homie Maddie's van. We love you, Maddie. You're the goat.
Shout out.
But it was time for an upgrade for us and for our for us to have our name on something, and I'm so proud of us that we saved up and bought this van. So we're whipping around in the van. If you see us on the road, honk at us.
Yeah. Are we pulling a trailer with this van?
No trailer as of now.
No trailer as of now.
We're trying our best to avoid the trailer for as long as possible. But also, like, you know, when you have the trailer and you have to have the trailer, maybe it's not a bad problem to have because the shows are bigger. I don't know.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. But no trailer for now, which is good.
Yeah. What kind of van is it?
It's a 2016 Mercedes 2500 Sprinter.
You guys are in a Sprinter? You're not just in a van. You're in a fucking Sprinter.
Sick.
Nah, we went.
Such a vibe.
You're in a Sprinter. You're not in a van. You're in a Sprinter. There's a big difference between that, boys.
Yeah. We saved up.
Yeah, we balled out.
We felt that save up, too.
Shout out Clevis.
Shout out to our guy Clevis. He's
Myrtle Beach.
Conway Brothers Auto.
Brothers Audio
in Conway, South Carolina. He is Albanian, and he's the man, Clevis.
So he sold.
That's where the van came from.
So the van's from South Carolina too. That's perfect. Carolina.
He gave us a screaming deal on it too.
Got a shout out. Shout out to Clevis, our Albanian homie in Myrtle Beach. We love you, Clevis.
We love you. You're the goat.
So how many rows does this thing got? Like, you got to tell me all about it, because Sprinters can be decked out in a few different ways.
With three rows.
We took one out for gear.
Perfect.
And we're rocking two rows in the back seat.
Two rows, and hella space in the back for all the shit that we bring on the road.
Yeah, so when you guys eventually get into the trailer, and I used to do this when I was selling merch for the Muscadine Bloodline guys back in the day, the back of the van, we put like blankets and beanbag chairs. We called it the BK Lounge. Whoever wasn't driving, we'd put two guys in the back there at a time to like chill on those like overnight drives or whatever. Yeah. And we used to just chill back there like with the iPads.
Dude, that's
just
a vibe.
So eventually you can put like little lights back there. You can make that like your little layer. Absolutely. If there's not a green room or something,
BK
Lounge.
Yeah.
The van has already proven to be an amazing mobile green room.
I bet.
It's great.
It's a game changer.
No doubt.
It really is. Now, who does a lot of the driving? Do you guys kind of do it in shift work? Is there one guy that really likes to drive? Or
mainly us three. I mean, Luke is like the biggest road warrior. He
drives. I wouldn't go that far.
Dude, you drive the most without saying anything about it.
This last run, did you drive quite a bit?
Yeah, I drove halfway home, and I drove to...
You drove from Boone to Raleigh, right?
From Boone to Raleigh. Steve drove from Nashville to Boone.
Yeah.
You drove halfway home.
Yeah, I was I was light on my driving this weekend, which I don't care.
I think I had.
That's good though when you can divvy it up like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Usually, I mean, huge. Somebody's always down to drive.
Jake will also drive too. He'll chip in. Yeah, Rob sure. Rob does not drive. He's building his lore.
Rob has a total of 1 hour behind the wheel, I think.
Rob just strikes me as a cartoon character. Like, I can't wait to meet him.
That's great that you get that. You haven't even met him.
I can't wait for
the way you guys are describing him.
He's the goat, dude.
Yeah, Rob gets a pass. He's just a vibe.
Yeah, he's
just here for vibes.
He's on vibe patrol. Like, we can't have him worrying about driving. He's got to keep the vibes up.
Yeah, he's got to stay up to date on Brain Rot content.
He just refreshes us. He's just like, you guys got to check this out for a second.
But Rob, if you see this, it's about time for you to start driving some.
All right.
He's not going to see this. He's not going to
he's not going to see it. He might. I hope he does.
Bring down his lore.
I think Rob's dad, I think at the start of our band, was like, Rob should never drive.
Oh, so he walked into it with being told by parental guardians.
We used to pull a trailer behind a pickup truck. And Rob's dad was like, do not let Rob drive that. And so now I think it's just like kind of like folded over into the van life, but I could foresee Rob a future in which Rob is driving some around.
Yeah, I like driving because it goes by faster when you're driving. I feel like,
dude, some of these past this weekend, like the drives were so brutal. I mean, it was bad driving. It's just like felt like 3 hours was like 7 hours. It was crazy.
We took highway hypnosis. That month off, I think, and we were back to it. It's just like 3 hours feels like three
hours.
When you're
just weekend warrioring it. Have you guys stayed out for longer than a weekend before, or has it always been weekend warrior stuff?
Yeah, we did what, like 2 weeks when we did that Texas run?
We did a couple on our run with Dog Park, November and December last year. There was Texas, which brought us all the way like through New Orleans, and then like three dates in Texas, I think.
Yeah,
three different cities.
Austin and Dallas.
Yeah. That was one.
Texas
which was,
is badass.
I like Texas a lot.
Winya loves Texas.
Texas was sweet. Yeah. Dallas showed out for us, too.
Yeah,
like
Dallas
they,
was insane.
Dallas was awesome.
Yeah. I got drunk
cool.
as hell.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Texas awesome. Is a good place to do that.
Damn right.
They party out there, man.
They do party yeah. out there. Dallas, I was hurting after that.
Where'd you guys play in Dallas?
We played, what was it? Do you remember?
It was next door to that one music hall.
Sunrise at Granada Theater.
Oh, at the
that's
Granada.
Right.
That's
right, yeah.
Cool. Okay, yeah. I've heard good things about that joint.
Dude, it was sick. It was such a vibe. Also, that amazing awesome. Staff there. They're like, I mean, most of these venues we played, like, everyone's been so nice. Amazing, amazing folks to work with, and which really just helps us have a great show. And the Sunrise at Granada was one of the most legendary Winya shows to date, I would say.
What made it so legendary?
Dude.
Tequila.
Tequila.
Okay, yeah. Texas shit. Yeah, I like it.
Nah, we it was like, I don't know. We kind of had a band argument the night before, and which is so normal. Let
oh,
me
yeah.
just say, like, this is bound to happen.
I think I turned 25 the night before. I had a full-on midlife crisis.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
quarter life crisis.
No.
we had a little band, like nothing bad, just like an argument that was probably long overdue, just like a bunch of dudes on the road touring, whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, just like everyone just blew off steam the night before, and then we got to Dallas and it was just like kind of tense the whole drive there. It was just like everyone was super quiet, and then we just got up there, and I also at some point before the show was just like, fuck it, I'm gonna drink a lot of tequila and go play, which I had not ever really done at the time before. And I think that I maybe unlocked some tequila soda superpowers, and just like the boys were buzzing. It was sick.
That one, I also thought that one was special because it was like towards the start of our going out west, and it was like the furthest we had been up to that point, and there was a crowd there. You know, we're playing these dog park shows. We don't know how many of these people knew us and knew our music. And that was the first time we were in like a super far away state where we're playing and you can hear them, like we heard people singing along to our songs. And that was like, I don't know, that was kind of a like game changer for me.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, okay. Like these people are into it all the way out here.
So sick.
Surreal to see. It's probably my favorite part of like playing live is when people show that they know the songs.
Dude, no doubt. We have, given that we're still a very small band and super young, we have the best fans ever, and we love them all.
Yeah, how important has a song like Feel It All Again been for you guys? Because that's like the big streaming one of this, and that's one that when the crowds do sing back, that's at the top of the list of what they're singing back.
Definitely. Yeah. Feel It All Again's been really big for us, and it shows through the streaming, and that is the one I would say that it shows people are super fired up about. Also, Lot to Learn is another one that is like, it's done very well streaming, but that's another one that the crowd seems to love. It's like when that first line hits, like, I don't know, it's so sick. There's no better feeling. Like, I've never really experienced that ever in my life until this past year, like to hear songs that you wrote with your friends and even just like a couple people singing and like that. It's so special. So special.
Yeah. And the way that the crowd reacts to the first time hearing the song.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How loud they are.
It's so sick.
What do you need to see in the crowd to know that they're vibing? Are you guys like head nods? Are people like dancing? Is it beers in the air? Nobody's throwing shit. I don't picture people throwing shit at a Winya show.
Not yet. That'd be sick. I'm trying to get like Gavin Adcock.
Yeah. Well, you need a helmet up there. You guys go out looking like construction workers.
No doubt.
Definitely depends on the show and where. I mean, as far as throwing shit, like at the Windjammer, there was... What? Someone threw some ice.
Someone threw like an ice cube at me, and I, in the middle of the song, I like snagged it in my mouth and just ate it and kept going.
That's electric.
It was crazy. There's a video of it, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we have a video. That was wild.
That's cool. But how do you know if the crowd's like receiving you well?
Like, I mean, at the Windjammer, there's definitely movement. There's people bobbing along. You know, there's music halls where people are like quiet during the song, and then after they'll erupt in applause. That's
like
a good feeling.
They're listening. It's like a listening room type of thing.
Yeah. But we also love playing like parties where people are dancing. You know, there's definitely some of that too.
It's different for different scenarios, I think. Like you're saying, sometimes the crowd is super respectful and just like, it feels like you could hear a pin drop and it's like so scary. But then like when you're done playing, they erupt. And then other times it's like, I mean, more recently, like people are starting to sing the songs, which is great. And like people, I don't know, like holding up their phones with like the little thing on Snapchat, like requesting one of our songs. It's been a thing that like some has started to happen some, which is like that's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
I just like reaction.
It's
Let us know we're doing something right here. Like, you know, any reaction I think is good engagement where it's like, I don't know,
I want to see people jumping, man.
Yeah.
You want them jumping to feel
it.
The more reaction we can get, the better it feels, you know, right off the start. You know, we've had shows where we come out from behind the curtain and it's just like, you know, and then we've had shows where it's like silent. We kind of pick up our shit.
And the crowd goes mild.
Yeah. It's like, just let us know we're doing something right here.
Yeah. No
doubt. Anything. That feels good to me.
That's awesome.
Anything that is just like a positive like moment of like any energy that you're gaining from our music, we love.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because we've been through a lot of those, the crowd goes mild moments. And I think that's, you know, that's a big part of becoming a performer and getting the reps. Like, you know, you've got to eat shit before you really, you know, see anything. But, you know, I don't know.
I think we're still learning too.
And we are, 100%.
Definitely the... It's a lot about the venue as well, you know, because you play a big room and it's packed, big pit and all. And, you know, that's usually more like, let's go, you know, like this is awesome. And then you'll play like smaller, you know, 200 cap. And it's like, it's still rowdy. It's still fun, but it's like, it's a little bit different. It's a little more intimate. You know, you're closer to the people, usually more like eye level with them.
Mm,
And it's like, it's just different. And
yeah,
I think we're just not. I'm not used to that yet. Finding that, you know, it just doesn't feel as good as the big rooms, you know what I mean? But like, it's not bad either.
But it's serving the same purpose.
Exactly.
And you guys are in so many different things where like a stoplight show is going to be different than an Evan show, going to be different than a dog park show.
Right. Yeah. Totally.
Like you guys are dipping your feet in so many different pools.
Yeah.
But the moral story is you can swim in all of them, which is what's really, really cool about a band like what you guys are doing, you know?
We're trying to swim in all of them.
Oh, you guys are. You guys. How many bands is like one of their first big gigs within the first year of releases is playing Bonnaroo? You know, like what you guys should be proud of what you guys have. I'm not saying get complacent, reached the mountain. You guys are just starting to trek up the first hill,
but
you're off to a good start. You know, you're cooking with grease out there.
We're very grateful.
It's awesome. So as far as this new record, I know it's a compilation of like quite a few of the tracks that you guys put out last year. But as far as like some of the new stuff that's on there, the unreleased stuff, what are we excited for people to hear?
Dude. It's pretty funny. I think we have two unreleased that are going to be on it. And it's one of them is the first song like we ever did together. And then the other one is the last song.
Like,
Oh, so it's really like on the timeline of like the current and the way beginning.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's kind
of
like
it's totally a mix of like songs we all kind of had written.
Mm-hmm.
And like knew them, started playing them, learned them, and then the rest of it is like songs we wrote together as Wenya. So it's really just everything that we had that was worth a shit put together, and that's album that, one. Like,
I think that Mamacita, the next release, is kind of like it's the first song that we ever started playing live, and Luke wrote it, and it's like I don't know that like. Feels so good to have that version of that song, or the version that will be out, have it out. Like it'll feel amazing to have that because it's such a big part of like our whole story and like everything like live. Like a lot of these songs are interpretations of things that we started doing live. Like we just released a song, Fool's Game, that wasn't even a song. It started as a jam that we would do into Dreams by Fleetwood Mac. And then we just like wrote a song out of it. But like having Mamacita come out and then Thread, which is the next song, and it'll be the last song on the album. Or actually, I don't know if it is it the first song on the sequencing. I don't know how all that works.
Oh, I forget.
But Thread is like the last release of the album. And Thread feels more so like where we're going in a way.
It like totally feels like where we started and where we're headed.
Yeah. Like getting ready for the sequel, like the next chapter of where you boys are going.
It's like, I think that Thread is the perfect bridge into whatever's next and whatever the next project will be.
Sick.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Well,
yeah, man.
Now, where are some spots that we like hanging in Nashville? Because you guys strike me as like East Nash guys, but I could see you maybe getting down in Midtown every now and again, or I could see you dipping your toes into like Germantown, or I don't see you guys as like 12 South boys, because that's like the bougie. I don't hang out.
Only when my mom's in town.
Same. I go there with my girlfriend all the time. Like, that's a spot where she likes to go.
Yeah.
But like, where in town have you guys felt like you said you like Nashville more than Charlotte? And Charlotte's a great fucking city.
What
parts of Nashville do you really like?
I mean, I'll say that the part is corny. I like the friends that I've made.
Okay, so it's about the relationships and the friendships.
Yeah. Like, in
such
terms of what I've loved about it, is
a sweet guy.
You know, the Cloverdale peeps, like being able to just slide into that kind of friend group has been awesome. But I'll probably let the Nashville vets talk about places in town.
He still doesn't know where he's at, bro. He barely knows how to get to Thomas's house still. We practice there every day.
That's so true.
That's accurate.
So where do you like hanging, Luke?
What's your fave?
I love a good frosty at Lakeside. You know, it's hard to beat that.
Lakeside's just like a time machine, and all the bars, all like the basement bars that are opening up over there, like that little section of East is just booming.
So fire,
thriving right now. Little basement bar that's underneath Up Down or whatever the arcade bar is next door.
Ernie's? Ernie's, maybe?
Might be called Ernie's. There's a bar like next to...
There's an Eddie's?
Like
there's an Ernie's?
Like, it's like Lakeside is right here, and then there's like the beer cade with the pizza right next door.
Yeah.
There's a little basement underneath that just opened up. Yeah.
Yeah, I went there for the first time the other night.
It's a cool...
Super chill.
It's a cool spot.
Very cool.
The Coral Club? Is that what that is?
It might be.
I don't know what it was called. I just walked over there with Leon.
Yeah, that's a cool spot. And then what's the other one that I like that I got introduced to? Schulman's recently.
Yeah, Schulman's that's my number one.
I got introduced to Dino's recently.
Dino's.
I've been here 6 years.
Goated.
I just haven't been over there, but you go hang out in that back patio in the sig section, the smoking section. You
Hell
meet some
yeah.
people at Dino's.
Damn right.
You really do.
Both of those spots are amazing. Good burgers too.
Yes, very good burgers. Very
started
good burgers.
Out started out our my Nashville bar scene following Thomas around Red Door. That
Red
was,
Door,
that
bro. Yeah, I used to live in Midtown.
Yeah, dude. I remember. See, that's when I first met you was through you being out in Midtown all the time. That's when we do all of our stuff. We're hosting every Sunday, every other Tuesday, and every Wednesday. We're doing 10 Raise Rowdy events a month right now.
That's sick.
And it's all original music. Some nights are the writers' nights, and then other ones are like a mix of like the full band and acoustic showcases. Like, we're balls to the wall. But Midtown's where I remember meeting you.
Yeah,
you
know? I think it was at one of the rounds with Cameron.
Yeah, would have been at Duck Blind. I think it would have already switched. It already switched. No, it would have been.
It
was
didn't
Winners.
Switch.
It was
it
still
was,
Winners. I think it was still Winners or Losers, or was
I
it
met
Live
you
Oak?
At Live Oak.
Oh, it might have been Live Oak. That's where we were for a long time.
Are y'all at
time.
The Live Oak's now, or it's at Doghouse?
So
right?
Live Oak took over because that whole strip's going to be getting moved and shifted around over the next couple years. The developers coming in, it's crazy. But Live Oak took over Old Doghouse.
I see.
And then they built Riley Green's Duck Blind,
Fire.
Where Winners was, and that's where we host all of our stuff.
Let's
at
go.
The Duck Blind.
I'm a big Riley Green fan.
Yeah,
dude.
He's
love that guy.
He's the man, dude. He's fucking people. Like,
he's
I've got,
shredded.
And I've gotten the hang. Yeah,
trying to be
like
Riley.
I joke around
every time. Yeah, he's just like, dude, you got to see his biceps. Bro.
Yeah,
he's
dude,
so hot.
I joke.
He's handsome
dude,
as hell.
Dude, I joke around, and Nikki T coined this term when he first started talking about Riley back like 2016, 2017. We refer to Riley sometimes as Redneck Adonis. The Greek god of the South, Riley Green. But he's fucking hilarious when you hang out. Because we've gotten to know him from doing our events over there. And he's chill dude, always has a funny line. His dog's cool, and he loves smoking cigars, which we, so we smoke. Yeah, he's just like a dude's dude, and then every girl wants to meet him. Yeah, and whatever. You know, it's like
we need to get Riley Green listening to some Winya.
Yeah,
we can make that. We can make that happen. That's why, that's part of our us being over there, dude. And we'd love to have you boys play anytime that you guys want to. When you get a break from being on the road, since they're on Wednesdays, I know you guys have a lot of Thursday, Friday, Saturday gigs.
Yeah,
but. We'd love to have you guys come in and jam. We could even We could even have some of the Cloverdale folks come in and play.
Yeah, we should make a big thing.
Yeah, because like we've had Evan on the Raised Rowdy pod with Nick and Kurt.
Oh, nice.
I'm boys with Brendan. We've had Leon play. We've had Julia play. We've had the Low Gap guys on here.
Yeah, like, I think did you play one with me? A Raised Rowdy thing?
I don't think so.
You might have.
I think you did.
Was that?
And that was the time when I like threw that band together. And it was just me and you and the two other guys.
Might have been at Winners.
It was a while ago.
Might have been at Winners or Losers because we moved over to Losers. Yeah. When Winners was being it was at Winners. But yeah, Duck Blind's been a cool
thing.
Dude,
I got to go check that spot out.
Yeah, dude. We're there every Wednesday, every Sunday, and every other Tuesday.
Maybe we'll pop out this Wednesday.
Yeah, come and hang, dude. It's fun. It's a good time. But I love seeing what you guys are doing and the fact that you guys just started putting shit out a year ago, and to see did you have any idea that it would be like this, kicking off your 2025, rolling around in a fucking Sprinter? Boys are living it up,
man. Absolutely not, but you know, there's still a lot of work to be done. I still see us as rookies, and I think we're probably hungrier now than we were last year at this time. And we're, you know, we still have a lot more reps to get, and a lot more really great songs to write.
Hell yeah.
You.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate you boys coming out here. This part of town is called Old Hickory.
Okay.
It borders Hermitage and Mount Juliet. It's a little bit out there. No, just so you know, because you hang out in the city a bunch, you don't get out of town, but there's like a bunch of big lakes, like rivers, all that right around here. So like
we got nature and shit out
here.
Yeah,
if you get asked to go on a boat somewhere, chances are it's gonna be at one of the lakes that's over here.
Old Hickory.
And it's not like going out in the Blackwater and out in Georgetown, out in Charleston, out in those areas, but it's fun out here. So, but if there's some good spots out here, if you ever feel like going way east of the city, because we're about 20 minutes out of the city right here. But appreciate the hell out of you guys coming up.
Yeah,
where can people go? So it's obviously look up Winya on anything.
Yeah, Winyah. Winya Band on Instagram.
Yeah, and where can people go to find you, Steve-O? What's your handle?
Hey.
We're going to get plugs for everybody.
Right, yeah. You can find me on the band page, Steven Russell on Instagram. That's the plug.
With a PH.
With the PH.
Oh, PhD man over there.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah.
Sophisticated.
Sure.
I'm Thomas Roland. My Instagram's Thomas C. Roland, although go follow Winya.
Yes.
My Instagram's Luke Scordens. That's it.
AKA Butters.
Butters. AKA Butters, yeah.
What is it Butters like South Park, or do we have a different... Yes.
Butters like South Park.
Why are we calling you... You don't give off a Butters vibe at all.
Well, it was a long time ago when it was given to me. I used to be a professional surfer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I was in Hawaii at the Rip Curl house, staying with a bunch of Australians and young American dudes too, but I used to have white bleached hair from the sun.
Oh.
Just recently this year playing music, it turned brown. I shaved it like a year ago. It came back brown. But I used to have a really high-pitched voice. I was kind of a late bloomer. So I used to just like talk like this all the time.
All right, it makes sense. And Hawaii, Butter's going back to Hawaii in that South Park episode because he's a native of Hawaii.
I used to have a pretty good southern drawl, and all the Australian guys were just like, tripping on me. They all loved South Park, and actually Justin Jung, the filmer for Rip Curl at the time, he was like, you remind me so much of Butters or something. Then all the Aussies were like, Butters, 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 and then
so it just
they strapped me down in a chair, put a bowl on my head, and just cut all my hair off, like really short bowl cut, and that was the day that Butters was born.
And you guys knew him as Butters.
I kind of knew Luke as Butters, sort of. Yeah.
Like, that's, you. People would say Butters, and I would know who they're talking
okay,
about.
Okay,
okay. He's an old OG.
Well, Luke Butters. Yeah. Appreciate you boys coming on. Dude, so much. Glad you guys like the surf sides, too. Yeah. I saw you.
Oh, yeah.
When you sat down, you were like, okay, I fuck with this.
It's incredibly tasty.
Yeah, yeah, they also make a lemonade. They make a peach tea. They have a green tea that has 50 milligrams of natural caffeine in it. So you get that. It's like a little go-go juice, a little 4.5%ers. They have flavored lemonades. They're great for being out on the water or being in a podcast, you know?
Hell
so
yeah,
we'll send you guys home with some 4-packs of them. Take some back for the boys that weren't with us today. And we'll hook you up. We've got some Raise Rowdy hats. I think we got some Orca cups over there.
Fire.
So some Raise Rowdy Orca hard koozies. But y'all be sure to check out our boys and Winya. Lot to Learn, the album dropping end of this month, and they're going to be on the road. That We Need a Van tour. They have the van, but they need your help to pay for it.
That's
so get out there, buy some tickets, buy some merch, be on the lookout. They'll be out with Stoplight Observations, Evan Honer, and Happy Landing, plus some headlining dates down in Florida and South Carolina. Yeah. For our boys in Winya, I'm Matt Brill. For more on us, you can visit RaiseRowdy.com. Have a great day. We will see you next time.
Never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They use